So I have a message this morning, and it came to me earlier this week when I heard that Pastor Rick was in the hospital, and he sent me a text and wondered if I would be able to fill the pulpit this morning. He actually didn't ask me to fill the pulpit, but he asked me to preach, and there was a word that came to me that evening, and it was one word, and this message kind of comes off of that one word, and Brother Ryan spoke a little bit to it this morning with a word, but that one word was resolve. Resolve. And I have a scripture to go with it, and we're going to get into it here in a bit, but these worship songs that we sang this morning, think of the words that we sang, and I believe that the Spirit of God has been preparing some of us in our hearts today, and I want to talk a little bit. So this word resolve, I want to talk a little bit about resolution, and it's we are in January 1st, and a lot of us make resolution, but this word resolve, I'm just going to tell you what it means. It means to decide firmly on a course of action. That's the word resolve, to decide firmly on a course of action. And I find it an honor this morning that all the kids are still in here, and I get to preach to the kids. So this teaching might become a little bit elementary, but I didn't even think about that. But I'd like to, if the kids are in here and if they are listening, I want to speak to you a little bit this morning about resolve. Before I forget this, I just read this morning, and it came to me when we all hit our knees for that one song. But this is Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States. He as a young man, he actually battled depression. And there was Abraham Lincoln is a well-known president. He freed the slaves and a very famous man. But as a young man, he battled depression. And there was a lot of things that Abraham Lincoln said that are worth remembering. Amen. But he was a man of faith. He was a man of God. And in this story that I read, the people didn't really want to, I don't know, even know who the writers were, but they didn't want to bring God into the picture. But they said Abraham Lincoln had great faith. And Abraham Lincoln was a man of God, but this is a quote that he said, and I thought of it when we hit our knees. He said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." Amen. And I wanna, if I could speak to everyone in here this morning, but even the kids that are growing up and getting into life, looks like my daughter left her Bible up here. I won't be using that, but a video that Pastor Rick sent me a while ago, and he probably sent it to many of you as well. I don't know, but and I showed it to my wife, but there is a basketball coach. I want to say it was a Duke women's basketball coach, and he sent this video to me, and basically what this lady was telling her basketball players was that you think life is going to get easier, and it's not. And if I could, I want to tell you that this morning, kids and adults, I want to tell you that if you think life is going to get easier, you're fooling yourself. Life isn't going to get easier. And as she explained to these basketball players was that life is not going to get easier. She wasn't just preparing them for the next basketball game. She was trying to prepare these young ladies for life and the future ahead of them. And she told them that life is not going to get easier. It will never get easier. If you think, I had this motto in 2022 in about September, October, when our economy here in this area kind of started taking a dip, and there was weeks off and people were looking for jobs. And I told myself, I said, now my goal is just to make it through 2022. Let's just get to 2023. But I'm here to tell you that 2023 doesn't look all that rosy right now. And if I could tell you one thing, it's the same thing that basketball coach told her girls, what told those young ladies, was that life is not going to get easier, but there's something that will happen as trials and tribulations of life come up against you. You're going to learn how to deal well with hard. You're going to learn how to deal well with hard. And there is a young man in the Bible, and I'm going to get to the message now, but there is a young man in the Bible by the name of Daniel. And Daniel had resolve, and Daniel made resolution, and Daniel learned how to deal well with hard. There was a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, but what this king did was he was from the city of Babylon, and Babylon means the city of Babylon came about when the children of Israel started building a tower, and they called it and it is known as the Tower of Babel. But the children of Israel were building a tower. They said, come, let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build a tower that reaches to the heavens so that if another flood comes, we can get out of the way. This was soon after the flood, soon after Noah and his wife had a lot of kids, and they had kids, and generations started coming, and they started filling the earth again. But they started building this tower, and then one morning, God said, I don't want them to make a name for themselves. I don't want them to think that they know what they're doing. And he came, and overnight he brought confusion to all the people by giving them different languages, and they no longer could communicate. And so it was called the Tower of Babel, which means confusion, and that's where Babylon comes from. Is the word still means confusion if you read it in the Bible, if you look it up in Strong's. Word Babylon means confusion. But there was a king in Babylon at the time by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he came, and it says you can start reading in Kings and in Chronicles, 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, how Nebuchadnezzar, he came up, and it says that he set up against the city of Jerusalem. It says that he camped up against it. He built walls up against it. He fortified walls and tents and stuff up against the city of Jerusalem. And it says that he besieged it. And I want to believe that there was a young man inside the walls of Jerusalem at that time while the enemy was sitting outside. And I'm going to use Babylon as the enemy today. You see, we live in the days of Babylon. Babylon also means in our language today, it means that it's materialism and sensualism is what Babylon was. They had idol worship. They worshiped bronze and silver and gold. They worshiped idols. They believed in magic and sorcery and astrology and all of this stuff. And it was really a life of sensualism and materialism and status quo in Babylon. And I'm telling you, if I can speak to you kids today, Babylon is sitting on the outside trying to get in. Babylon is trying to come in and influence a generation. It's trying to, and what Babylon did was they came up against Jerusalem. They plundered the house of God. They took the things from the house of God. They plundered the temple and they took it over and they put it into the house of their God, which wasn't the Lord. And I'm telling you that Babylon is sitting on the outside. They're trying to influence a generation that all of a sudden has to come, and they go to college nowadays. They have to use pronouns in front of their name so that people know what they are. And I'm telling you, Babylon is coming up and it is besieging the walls of Jerusalem to this day. And it's trying to get in, and it's trying to bring influence to a younger generation, and it brings confusion. And I want to get into this story of Daniel and the resolve that this young man had. And I have to believe that as King Nebuchadnezzar came up against the city of Jerusalem, there were kings that were disobedient to the Lord. And I'm not going to take the time, but in Jeremiah, actually, I'm going to take the time. Jeremiah chapter 24, I'm going to start there. Jeremiah chapter 24. Because there was a few young men, probably more than one young, probably more than a few, but they were inside the walls of Jerusalem. And I have to believe that there was some parents, there was some peers, there were people that were older than these young men. There was moms and dads that were on the inside of Jerusalem, and they were telling their children, they were telling Daniel and Azariah and Hananiah and Mishael, they were telling them, look, outside there's an enemy that is camped right up against us. There's an enemy that wants to plunder us. There's an enemy that wants to take your life. And there was a mom and dad that were speaking to these young men, to these young boys, and they were telling them, no matter what, you stick to the laws and stay loyal to your God, no matter what happens, because life is going to kick you in the chops. And I can tell you, children, I can tell you young ones, that today, if you think life is going to get easier when you turn 13, if you think life is going to get easier when you turn 15, if you think life is going to get easier when you graduate from high school and you go into college, you're really fooling yourself, because life is not going to get easier. But what happens is you're going to learn how to deal with life. You're going to learn how to deal well with hard. And inside those walls, I believe that there was many, many children, and there was moms and dads who were bringing them up and telling them, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I don't know if mom and dad are always going to be with you, but no matter what happens, always stay loyal to God, because God is the only one true and living God. Amen. And I'm going to read something out of Jeremiah chapter 24 first. This is a prophecy of Jeremiah. It says, "The Lord showed me that there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, he said, Jeremiah, what do you see?" See, the Lord spoke in pictures, the Lord spoke in visions to his prophets back in the day, and I believe some of these were so simple. And I believe he does that still today. He brings maybe a prophet in the church or a prophet in your life. He brings a simple picture and a simple vision that explains what's going on and explains what's happening. But here, there was just two baskets of figs, and a fig was a fruit of that day, and it's still a fruit today, but I've never eaten one that I know of. But there was one basket of good figs and one basket of bad figs. That's what it was. And he said, the Lord said, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And Jeremiah said, I see figs. The good figs, they're very good. The bad, very bad. Which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. Then again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, he says, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who carried away the captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans." He said, I actually plundered Israel. I plundered Jerusalem. I let Nebuchadnezzar come in and take away captives for their own good. Why? They were stuck in a generation of kings who were not being obedient to the call of God, and they were actually being defiled by their own people. God said, I'm just going to take them out. And then he says this, "For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." And then he says this, "And as the bad figs which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus says the Lord, I will give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers." Basically what God said, he said that there's good figs and there's bad figs. And I want to tell you this morning that there was a basket in that time. There was a basket of good figs and a basket of bad figs. And the bad figs was the kings and the princes and the governors of that time. And I want to tell you that sometimes we can look at the very government that we live under. We can see that they're probably some of them, not all of them, but they are a basket of bad figs. But I want you to know this: we can talk about it, we can bash them all that we want to. But I would say that the thing to do would be to pray about it, because God has the ability and He has the understanding, He has the power to whatever those bad figs are doing. They will give an account for what's going on. And the good figs, there's a basket of good figs, and you have a choice today to set yourself into the basket of good figs, because no matter what happens, no matter if Babylon comes in, no matter what influence that Babylon will have on you, you can be of the good fig where God says, I'm never going to pluck you up. I'm never going to take you out. I'm going to bring you back to me. And there's a basket of good figs that is still out there. And I want to commend you for sticking to the laws of the Lord and sticking to the commandments of God. Because no matter what Babylon throws at you, no matter what it looks like from the outside, on the inside, God knows your heart. God knows that you're still the basket of good figs. And he still knows that you're going to come back to me. You're going to stay with me. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many followers you have on Instagram. It doesn't matter how many friends you have on Snapchat. There's a day coming where we have to give an account for what we're doing and for what we're walking after and for our loyalty to our God. And I want to tell you this morning, Ryan said something about resolution. Today, I want us to make a resolution. I want us to resolve in our hearts. And I'm going to read, we're going to get into Daniel chapter 1. This is where the message stemmed out of. This is in verse number 1 of Daniel. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. This Babylon is a city devoted to materialism and sensual pleasure. It had idol worship, gold, silver, bronze. It had magic. It had sorcery. It had astrology. They had astronomers that were magicians, that were basically fortune tellers and soothsaying. And they were taking what was bad and calling it good. Babylon is still doing that today. Babylon is still taking what is bad and calling it good. And if you don't like it, then you're the hater. And all of a sudden, the Christians in this day are becoming the haters. Because we believe that what God has said is true and it will always stand. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. We're in Daniel chapter 1 with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasures of the house of God. He was taking the things from the temple of the Lord and he was trying to bring them in to the house of his God. But I'm going to tell you that a life of materialism and sensual pleasure will never mix with the life of God. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is word. That's the word of God. Babylon is taking the things of God and mixing it into its culture, and it's taking the things of God and sending it into its place of worship, and they're trying to confuse a generation. And Babylon is nothing but confusion. I believe Babylon in our day and age is Hollywood, if I can just shoot straight with you. My wife was telling me the other day, there's a famous, I don't even know her name, but she's a Christian artist, singer, and she started asking me about, we just started talking. She's getting bashed pretty good on Facebook because she has a ranch or a place that she rents out for weddings, and there's a friend of hers that wants to have a homosexual wedding on her land or rent this facility from her for a homosexual wedding. And we can say what we want to on Facebook. It's easy for us to just spew out a lot of things. It's easy for us to be keyboard, what do you call those, armchair quarterbacks, I guess, in a sense. And so I just put the question out there. I said, let me ask you a question. And please understand me, I don't condone that kind of thing. I don't condone homosexuality. I don't condone transgenderism and using pronouns in front of your name. I don't condone any of that stuff. I also don't condone lying. I also don't condone drunken parties. I also, like, when are we, what we do is we start categorizing sin. But I asked her a question. I said, let me ask you, if we had an Airbnb and there was somebody that wanted to come to this Airbnb and they said, we are just getting married, we're a homosexual couple, and we would like to rent your Airbnb, what would I do? You see, it's easy for us to look at what other people are doing and say, you should never do this, you should never do this, until it happens to us. But what I want to tell you, the reason that I say this is you better prepare your hearts, because Babylon is coming right up to your face and they are bringing stuff right up to in front of you where you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to stand for what God has said? Am I going to abide by the laws of God, or am I going to buckle? Am I going to fold like a cheap rag under the woes of Babylon? It's coming. Amen. And I just want you today to resolve in your heart. I want there to be a resolution in your heart. And we're going to get to that here right now. The king instructed Asphanez, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. Babylon said, I want you to bring good young men. I want you to bring smart, bright, good-looking young men. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring them into Babylon. We're going to infiltrate them with our culture, with our literature, so that they can speak our language and work for us. We have influences. I feel bad because I was talking with a former teacher, but she said that the bad thing is that the influences that we have in school, we think we have good influences, but they have to almost buckle under the weight of Babylon because they have to take federal money just so that they can make it, and then they have to do what the federal government is telling them to do. That's the society, that's the culture, that's the system that we live under. You take money from the federal, you're going to have to do what they're saying. And there's good people that are in these school systems, but their hands are tied behind their back because they have to do what Babylon is telling them to do. I have a good friend at work that was telling me the other day. He said, he's our head sales guy. And he told me, he said, we're working for the devil. Said, what are you talking about? I said, we're working for the devil. He said, you know who owns these companies? And it kind of took me back, and I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take the money that the devil is making. We'll build the kingdom of God. He said, absolutely. You see, there's a counterfeit for everything. Babylon is actually a counterfeit to the eternal city of God, if you read in Revelation. Babylon is the counterfeit to the eternal city of God. Babylon, the eternal city of God, there's a new Jerusalem that's going to come down. And Babylon was actually, in this day and age, when Daniel was taken captive, Babylon was besieging the city of Jerusalem. It's just a counterfeit to the eternal city of God. They're always going to bring you a counterfeit, whether it be music, whether it be money, whether it be teachings. There's always a counterfeit to the eternal things of God. And we, as children of God, I believe that Daniel was one of those men that was well taught from where he was from. He had a mother and a father that taught him well. And when he came out of Babylon, there was something, or when he came out of Jerusalem into Babylon, they said, we're going to teach them the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed to them, this is Daniel 1 and verse 5, the king appointed to them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank in the 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel literally means, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, Daniel means, God will be my judge. God will be my judge. There is no other person that can judge your salvation. We can look at the fruit of your life, and we can tell pretty quickly if you need to be born again or not. But if it's set in your heart, if your salvation is set in your heart, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe that it's settled in your heart that I have received eternal salvation from God, no man, no religion can come up against that and say you don't have it. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names, and he gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. See, we all know the story of the three men in the furnace. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we might actually touch a little bit on that story yet, but Daniel, to Daniel, he gave a different name, but we just know him as Daniel. And then this is where the message kind of started, was in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested to the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. It's a word that we don't use much today. I read it like Daniel proposed. It's almost like a proposal to his own heart, but he says that he purposed in his heart that he is not going to defile himself with the things of Babylon. He's not going to defile himself with the things that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted him to have in it. And it's almost like this purpose was a resolution in Daniel's heart. And it means this, to have as one's intention or as an aim to oneself. And that's the resolution that I want you to make today in your heart. I want you to purpose in your heart that no matter what Babylon throws after me, no matter what the King Nebuchadnezzar wants me to eat, no matter what he wants me to do or see or be, I'm going to purpose in my heart that whatever the Lord God has told me, whatever I have been taught from my youth, whatever the laws of God are, those are the things that I will set my heart on. And he purposed in his heart, and he had resolve in his heart that no matter what, no matter what, I've been taught better than this, no matter what, I'm going to stick to the laws of God. Daniel's surroundings that he was in an unasked for, unwanted for situation. He was actually a slave to this nation of Babylon. And he was in an unwanted situation, and the surroundings that he was in did not dictate the way he felt toward his God. And I'm telling you right now, there are days where you're going to be in situations. There are days where it depends on what your job may be, or depends on where you might be traveling. You're going to be brought into a situation that does not dictate the way that you feel towards your God. And you have to decide in your heart, you have to purpose in your heart, what am I going to do? Because people are watching. And Daniel, what Daniel did was he said, I don't want to eat of the king's wine. I don't want to eat the stuff that is on his table. And he went we'll just read it here. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then he would endanger my head before the king. You're going to be brought into situations where there's peer pressure. There's stuff that comes against your life where everybody else is doing it, and just because they're doing it doesn't mean that it's right. And I'm telling you as parents, I can speak for all parents. I want to talk to you kids a little bit now today. Just because your mom and dad don't let you do certain things doesn't mean they hate you. It actually means they probably love you more than your friends' parents love them. That's true. So don't hate your mom and dad now. Wait till you're about 21, 22, then you'll understand. But Daniel was in a position where he decided that I'm going to let my God prove himself. I'll just leave it up to my God. I'll let him prove himself. And something happened, so they decided, they said, look, why don't we try it? We'll give you vegetables and water. We'll give you the food that you want to eat for 10 days. And after 10 days, we're going to have a test. And I want to tell you that if you are of the children of God, you see, nowadays we hear these things. We hear all these things where Christians are trying to justify themselves by their lifestyle. Or they're trying to justify their lifestyle with the Bible. And I'm telling you that if you are a Christian according to the word, you should come out from among them, from among the world. You should be different from the world. And it should actually be almost a recognizable thing where the children of God are walking in a different path than the people of Babylon. Amen. And you should come out from among them and be different. Be holy as I am holy. And there should be a visual difference if the children of God are walking after the commandments of God. They're walking after the statutes of God. People will be able to tell a difference. And that's what happened with Daniel and his friends when they said, I can't be infiltrated with the things of Babylon. I can't defile myself with the things of Nebuchadnezzar. And after 10 days, they brought him out again. And it said that these young men that ate only vegetables and water, they ate only the things that they had known, only the things that they knew were good for them. And I'm talking spiritually now, but they did it in a physical sense, and they brought them out, they lined them up, and they said, these young men look a lot better than the ones that have been defiling themselves with the things of Babylon. Why? Because Daniel purposed in his heart. When he left Jerusalem, when he was taken to Babylon, he did something in his heart. He said, I purpose in my heart, I will not defile myself with the things that are not of God. And you can do that today. You can do that today. When he purposed in his heart, when he resolved in his heart, that really means he's going to do the right thing even when no one is looking. And there's something about resolve. I thought of it. I thought of a lot of different things. I've done a number of races and Spartan races and stuff like that. And there was times where I thought I was just going to die, and then I was afraid I wasn't going to die, and then I ended up making it. But there was something that when you start off in a race, and Brother Nick and Adam and some of these other guys that have done it, they can tell you right now that there is a you resolve in your heart when you hit the trail. When you hit that race, when you take off from the finish line, that no matter what, come hell or high water, I don't care if I have to crawl, I don't care if I have to walk, whatever I have to do, I'm going to finish the race. And that is resolve. That is when you purpose in your heart that no matter what comes my way, no matter what Nebuchadnezzar throws at me, no matter what Babylon is trying to infiltrate me with, but by mile 10, you're going, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And by mile 11, you're like, I'm going to make it. I might be a little bit worse for the wear. And by mile 12, you're going, I'm going to make it no matter what. I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to do it, and I'll do it with a smile on my face. And I'm telling you, I thought of Jesus Christ this morning was why did he walk directly into Jerusalem? He got done telling his disciples that the Son of Man is going to die. They're going to crucify me. They're going to hang me on the cross. And then after 3 days, I'm gonna raise again. And instead of walking away, instead of going and hiding in the hills somewhere outside of Bethany or somewhere Jericho, go somewhere else beside Jerusalem. But he knew that it was gonna be in Jerusalem. He knew every step that he took, he was walking right into his destiny. But he had purpose in his heart. He had resolve in his heart that no matter what, I'm going to finish this race that has been set before me, and I'm going to do it with joy. And he had to do it for one purpose, and that was so that me and you could have eternal life. Daniel decided that he was going to let God prove himself. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better, and they were fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Then the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables. And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You see, God is looking for a Daniel in the middle of Babylon today. Amen. God is just looking for a few Daniels. He's looking for a few Shadrach and Meshachs and Abednegos. He's looking for a few men and women that will purpose in their heart that no matter what, I'm going to walk after the ways of God. He's looking for those today because what he can do is in the middle of all of this, in the middle of politics, in the middle of lies and all of this stuff, he can raise up men and women to sit in the middle of Babylon and bring good influence to those around them. And that was Daniel. Because of what he had purposed in his heart, because of the resolve and the resolution in his heart, God said, I can use you wherever you're at. And Daniel knew that there was a prophecy. He knew that the prophet Jeremiah had prophesied that we're going to be captive for 70 years. Daniel knew all of that stuff, and there had to be days where he was going, what in the world is going on? What am I doing here? Have I missed my calling? But God used Daniel to speak to kings that didn't even know God. He used Daniel to interpret dreams and visions to kings that had nothing to do with the Lord. And one of the cool things was there, I'm going to get to another scripture here, but it says that Daniel, after Daniel had interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, after he had interpreted these dreams, Nebuchadnezzar came and he told him, he said, I want to make you a ruler over all of Babylon. And it says that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their duties that they did, but it says that Daniel sat at the gate of the king. And you can say what you want to today about Christians and politics and all of that, but I'm telling you, we need some Daniels who are willing to get learned in the things of politics and get learned in the things of government so that they can sit at the gate of the king and bring good counsel. It's not our duty to sit back and be quiet. It's our duty to go and vote and bring righteous leadership into position so that they can have influence on Babylon. God will use you. God will use you wherever you're at. I'm going to get to one more story. So you all know, a lot of you kids know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So King Nebuchadnezzar built a big golden image. This was a big idol. And he said, everybody in the kingdom has to bow down and has to worship this idol. And there was these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not going to do it. That goes against everything that we've been taught. That goes against everything that we know that the Lord our God would want us to do. We're not going to worship man. We're not going to worship a being. The only time that I will hit my knees is for the Lord my God. And the king got mad. He said, we're going to fire up this furnace. You're going to get thrown in there. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this was in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. They say to the king, they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. And then they say this, I love this. I love it. If our God doesn't deliver us from you, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Hallelujah. It's like Job. He might slay me. I will see him in the flesh. And these three young men, they said, I don't care, king. I don't, even if our God doesn't deliver us, there is an eternal salvation that is waiting for us because we have stood by the laws of God. And if you take our life, we still won't bow to you. And I want to tell you, see, 2022 has gone now in 2023, and we have these resolutions and stuff where we're going now. This year, it just might be a little bit different. And some of us, we really get caught up in it. It's almost like the parable of the sower, where the deceitfulness of riches are taking over our life. And then when by March or April, this hasn't come to fruition, we try a different resolution. But if we can resolve and resolute in our heart that no matter what, no matter what life throws at us, and I can tell you, like I said before, life for most of you will not get easier. But you're going to learn how to deal well with the hard things of life. I have one more here, and this is where I want to end up. We all know the story of Daniel and the lions then. But when Daniel left Jerusalem and he came to Babylon, there was something that he did every day. And I thought of that this morning again when everybody knelt down. Daniel resolved in his heart that no matter what life throws at me three times a day, I'm going to kneel by my window. I'm going to face Jerusalem. I'm going to face the holy city, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to let him know that God, even though I'm in Babylon, even though I'm in the middle of a culture that I know nothing about, even though I'm in the middle of hell some days, and my life is being threatened at times, God, I'm going to kneel down, and I'm going to turn my face towards you three times a day, and I will seek you in the middle of Babylon. And that's what Daniel did because of the resolve and because of the purpose in his heart. And so there was some men here. I'm not going to read all of it, but there was men that Daniel was actually, he became the leader over these men, and they didn't like Daniel, and they came up with a law that said that nobody can pray to anybody except Darius the king. And see, there was another thing that Daniel, he was here in Babylon. He was outside of his own home, outside of his own culture, and this man spoke to three different kings. They lost their kingdoms, but he told the first one, he said, "There's your kingdom is going to come and go, but there's a kingdom that is coming that will never dissipate." And he was talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about Jesus Christ coming and dying for the world. He said, that kingdom will never go away. Your kingdom is going to rise and fall. And Daniel spoke to three different kings. And here, again, he was speaking to King Darius. And so he went through Nebuchadnezzar. He went through Belshazzar. He went through King Darius. And I actually want to believe, I'd have to read, but he also spoke to King Cyrus. a young man who had no status quo. He had no clout when coming out of Jerusalem. He was just a slave, but because of the purpose that was in his heart, God used him to speak to four different kings, visions, dreams, and prophecies. And he used Daniel to prophesy to us today about the end of days. But here was Daniel. There was a plot that came up against Daniel, and they said, if you pray to anything besides the king, we have this decree, we have this law that the king has stamped and signed. And the king thought it would be a good idea if nobody prayed to anybody but me. But he signed this thing, and so because Daniel, after he heard this, so let's just read this here. This is in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with the windows open towards Jerusalem, he's going, Babylon, you can come at me with all you want. You can bring the kitchen sink. I'm going to kneel for my God. I will seek him. And it says that he knelt down on his knees three times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. Mom and Dad, there are days where you're going to feel like you just want to get through the family altar. You just want to get through the evening prayer without dead bodies on the floor sometimes. You're going, would you just come up here? We're going to pray before we go to bed. And I just want to tell you this, don't stop. There's days where you're going, I don't even know if it's worth it. I don't know if they're getting it. But there's a day coming when they will be married with their own kids and they're going, my mom and dad did it. We're going to do it. That's one thing that I see kind of from the culture I come from. Every night you would sit down as a family. You would eat food as a family. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you lose that real quick. Keep your family altar. Because it says that Daniel did this thing as was his custom since the early days. He was taught this back in Jerusalem. And when Babylon tried to take him, he kept doing it. So these men assembled and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and they spoke concerning the king's decree. And he said, have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. And so because of that, Daniel was taken. And he was bound and he was thrown. But here's something that the king said. The king knew that this man from Jerusalem, he said, we're going to throw you into the den of lions. But I believe your God has the power to save you. And that's where I see today. God is looking for some Daniels. God is looking for men and women who purpose in their heart, who have resolve and resolution in their heart that no matter what comes, God is looking for these people so that somebody else can look at them and say, I believe your God can do it. Amen. I believe in your God. And so this morning, and if we finish this story with Daniel, Daniel got thrown into the den of lions. It says an angel came down and he shut the mouths of the lions, and the king came out the next morning and he took Daniel out and he took the people that wanted to kill Daniel and he threw them to the lions. You see, there's, yes, Pastor Gordy said these were the bad figs. But there was a basket of good figs, and though it was going to take 70 years, God said those good figs are going to remain good, and I'm going to bring them back to me. Amen. And there are days in your life where you're going, I don't know how much longer I can handle this. I think maybe after I'm retired, it's going to get better. Is that true? Does it get a lot easier after you're retired? I think that. I think once I'm a grandpa and I'm retired, it's going to be a lot easier. But I'm going to learn how to deal well with hard. That's probably what's going to happen. And so this morning, I just want to bless you. I want to thank you for being here. Stephen, did you get that text that I sent to you? See if you can pull it up. I'll just keep talking until I find something good to say. If you could pull up the YouTube video, it's Phil Wickham, You're Beautiful. I wasn't going to have the worship team come up, and while we were doing worship, I thought of that song. It's a song, and most of you know it, but it's called You're Beautiful by Phil Wickham. And I have to believe that some of us are going through some really hard times in our life right now. Some of us are battling sickness, and it feels like the devil's just trying to take us out. But I want to encourage you with something, because when Daniel resolved in his heart, when he purposed in his heart that no matter what comes, someday he's going to see God. And that's the way it is for all of us, is it doesn't matter how many followers, like I was saying earlier, it doesn't matter how many likes that you have on your posts on InstaChat and Snap, Facebook and all of that stuff. I'm not well taught in that realm. But someday we'll answer to God. And if we can purpose in our heart that we're going to stick to it, until we see God face to face. And I thought of this song this morning, You're Beautiful by Phil Wickham. And when Daniel knelt three times a day and he turned his face toward Jerusalem, I have to believe he was seeking the Lord. And the Lord probably spoke to him through that time. There's just no way. Like if you hear the dreams and the visions that Daniel interpreted, there's no way. But it says that even the kings recognized that there was an excellent spirit within Daniel. There was the spirit of God, the living God, inside of this man. And that's what gave him the ability to do it. Daniel never wanted any honor and glory for himself. But he came to the point where he sat at the gate of the king and he brought counsel to those in Babylon. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you do make a resolution, I'm all for resolutions. Please understand me. I made a resolution last January 1st that I would not drink soda pop and eat candy for a long time. And if you know me, I had an addiction to candy. I'm trying to get the monkey off my back. I still like Skittles. But that was a resolution that I just made for myself. Please understand me. I'm all for it. But I want to resolve in my own heart today. I want a purpose in my heart that I'm not going to defile myself with Babylon. And if you have that song, fine, Amos. If not, we're just gonna pray. I probably had the wrong name, I had Stephen Hershberger, but it's called "You're Beautiful" by Phil Wickham on YouTube. Yeah, they're getting it. But what I want to do this morning is, I had told my wife I'm going to keep it short. We have a flight to catch out of South Bend here in a couple of hours. And so if we leave really quickly, it's not because we don't like you, not because we don't want to talk with people. It's because we do have to go to the airport. but I want to do this yet. I was going to be done by now, but there's a song that we want to play. And if you want prayer this morning, if there's something going on in your life, even you kids, just raise your hands and say, I make a resolution today. I resolve that going to school, hanging out with friends, going to different places where it feels like Babylon is trying to bring influence into my life, but you resolve in your heart, you purpose in your heart today that I'm going to follow God. Amen. And I'm going to walk after His laws and His commandments. And no matter what Babylon throws at me, I'm going to walk after Jesus. And so if we could just make that resolution today, and we'll make a declaration with this song. If you want prayer during it, please don't hesitate to come forward. And then after this, I'm going to pray us out of here. So thank you for being here. Sister Dawn.
I would say unto you, my children, you must daily, daily make your resolutions. Because when you look here, you're going to see figs. Are they the good figs? And if you look this way, you're going to see the bad figs. And did not I say you must choose? You must choose life or death, blessing or cursing. So you're going to make a decision. Are you going to take the good figs? Are you going to take the bad figs? So daily, daily expect. I said to him, what do you see? And I would say to you each day, what do you see? You're going to see the good figs or the bad figs. So it's a daily decision. A daily decision that you must make for me.
Father, we just want to thank you this morning that you're amongst us. We thank you, God, that you're beautiful as ever. Amen. We thank you, God, that we can look to you in days of trouble. We thank you, God, that, Father, today we purpose in our heart like Daniel did. We look towards that holy city, Jerusalem, and we pray. We open our windows without shame, God.
Amen.
Father, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Thank you, Spirit of God, for your goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Today we just pray. I pray for every heart and soul represented in here today as we leave this place. Father, I pray that 2023 would I'm not just asking for blessing and prosperity, God. I'm asking, Spirit of God, that you would let it be a year that your church would grow in faith, that your church would grow in strength. Father, it's like you told Peter, said, I'm not asking the devil to leave you. He asked that he would sift you like wheat, but I'm asking that men would surround you, men of faith, and pray for you. And so today, God, I desire to see that in the church. I desire to see us walk in faith and in truth. Hallelujah. And God, today, I just pray for every soul in here that, Lord, if Babylon comes at us, if Babylon sets things up, Father, that we would have a purpose in our heart. We would resolve in our own life that we'll walk after you, God. Thank you for your beauty. Thank you for the life and the death of Jesus Christ. And we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being here, and be blessed as you leave today, and have a happy new year, and a whole happy year. Thank you.